be here today. Amen, church? All right. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you guys got the message from me this week. Truly am grateful to be a part of this church family and be a part of what God is doing. Just keeps doing things in and through us that only He can take credit for. And so if we don't have reason to give Him praise, we're not paying attention. Amen. Hey, a couple things before we get started. This is in your bulletin. But we wanted to give our church family something unique to do it at home with your families. On the back table, you're going to find a Christmas family bingo, and then you're going to find some little stars to stick on there as well. I didn't really want to cheat. We don't get a free one, right? No free one this year. It says pray for your neighbors as a family. So that's, you got to do it, man, right? So, I mean, that's where you start. Go home and pray as a family. But these are things to do within your community. It could be where you adopt a family for Christmas. I mean, not like take them home and live with them, but, you know, buy them Christmas gifts and stuff. Hey, unless God wants you to do that, then go for it, right? But we're up for adoption, you know? So, if you look at this Christmas bingo, just grab it, church. Take it home. Have some fun with it as a family. Just simple things like drink hot coffee or hot chocolate and watch a Christmas movie or pray for five individuals at Authentic Life. I mean, just different things that would encourage us to focus on Jesus and the church and others at Christmas time. And so you'll find some instructions back there as well. I'm going to be a little vulnerable with you, church, just for a second. This Bible was given to me a few years back by my grandpa. One of the things I love to collect is Bibles from people in my family. I've got my dad's Bible. I've got one of his Bibles. I got my grandfather's Bible that already passed away Saturday morning. My grandpa went home to be with Jesus. And I just love this. This is his Bible, his first Bible that he got after he got saved in December 7th, 1948. Isn't that great, church? And the verse that he has, the first verse that he underlined in here is, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I'm just going to be honest with you, church. I know not everybody had this growing up, but man, I am who I am because of the people God placed in my family. My grandfather that already passed away years ago was saved at a Billy Graham crusade and gave his life to Christ, and God just radically changed him very quickly. This grandpa was saved and as a young man and just grew up, and he taught us how to love the Lord. He taught us to be faithful to his church and serve. I mean, literally, the church that I pastored at before he came here, my grandpa helped build with his hands. So it was amazing. Taught me how to be a good hard worker, how to love my wife, how to love my family. Does that make sense, church? And so, man, if you got people like that in your family, just be grateful for them. Pray for our family. We're trying to figure out what that's going to look like for us travel-wise. And so I'm going to have Grandpa's Bible up here when I'm preaching today, if that's okay with you guys. If not, I'm going to do it anyways. All right. For the last 3 weeks, we've been walking through each chapter, each verse in the Old Testament book of Jonah, and today we're going to finish up our series by looking at Jonah chapter 4, and then next week we're going to begin our time of Advent or our Christmas series looking at the wonder of Christmas. Guys, I think it's easy, too easy, for us to get distracted by all that's going on. There's a lot going on this time of year, amen? Right? So we can get distracted by that, and we can lose focus. But church, I also think, especially for Christians that have been in the church, have been Christians for a long time, it's easy for us to lose the awe and wonder of Christmas. The awe and wonder when it comes to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we've heard the miraculous story for many years, right? I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you go to Isaiah, right? Chapter 7, chapter 9, you look at all of these different passages. And if we are not careful, we can lose sight and lose that awe and wonder of who Jesus is and why he came. And so our focus over the next 3 to 4 weeks is to be in awe of Jesus. To be in awe of Jesus and see the wonder of Christmas and why he came. And so I'd encourage you, church, I'm just going to ask you, make it a priority to be here. I know we're in a season of travel and whatnot. Make it a priority to be here if you can. Join us online if you can't. But also invite your friends and family. Church, we know that this is a time of year that people are open to invitation. Invite them to church. We try to make that possible in every way, shape, and form. We're going to have online invites through Facebook. We're going to have invitations that are back there at the back counter. Are there Christmas ones in there? Oh, they're in there. All right. So you got Christmas invites in your bulletin. Hand those out. Pray for them that they would come. And if they don't know Christ, that they would know Christ. So we're going to jump into chapter 4 this morning. Open your Bibles, your Bible apps to Jonah chapter 4 as we wrap up this really awesome series. And as you're turning there, I'm going to recap and remind us of what we've covered up to this point. In chapter 1, we are introduced to a man named Jonah. We'd actually already been introduced to him in 2 Kings chapter 14, but he is a prophet of God. He has been a faithful man of God. He was a very well-known, very well-liked prophet. And God comes to him in chapter 1, and he says, Jonah, I'm going to give you the Jeff translation, okay? He says, Jonah, I need you to get up. I need you to head to Nineveh, and I've got a message for them. You need to give them a message. Now, we've already heard this 3 weeks in a row now, but Nineveh was an evil and wicked city. Church, they were brutal. They were violent. They were cruel people. They would conquer cities and then do really wicked things to the people of those cities. They were enemies of Jonah and his people. And God says, Jonah, arise and go to them and give them a message, a warning and a message from me. Call them to turn to God. Jonah wants nothing to do with that, right? He doesn't want anything to do with those people. And we're going to see more of that today, but he doesn't want to go to them, right? He doesn't want God to forgive them. Church, I think that should sit with us for a little bit, because I think there may be people in our life, we're going to talk about that a bit, but there may be people that we don't want God to forgive. And so Jonah flees from God. He tries to flee 2,500 miles in the opposite direction by boat, but God pursues him. He gets his attention by throwing a storm at him, and then Jonah knows that the storm is his fault, and so to save the sailors' lives, he says, hey, you guys need to throw me overboard. You need to throw me into the sea, and Jonah believes at that point that his life is over, and he sinks to the bottom of the sea. But God never stops loving him. He never stops pursuing Jonah, and he appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah, right? He's in there for 3 days and three nights. He saves Jonah's life. And then after 3 days, Jonah finally repents to the Lord. He surrenders to what God wants him to do, even though it was hard. Sometimes God asks us to do hard stuff, right? Sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't want to do, and even after we do them, we still don't like it. But that's what God wants him to do, and he surrenders to him. He trusts God in that moment. He surrenders to go to Nineveh to give them a message from God. And so he does that. He gets spit back up on the sea, right, or on the shore, and he walks into the city, and he tells them that in 40 days, you guys are going to be demolished because of their sin and wickedness. And what we see next is nothing short of amazing. It's God at work. The king and the entire city, they turn to God. They repent. They humble themselves before God. And they basically call on God to rescue them and forgive them. It's amazing what God can do, church. And this shows us, this is a great reminder for all of us, that no one is too far for God to reach. No one is too lost for God to find, to seek and find and rescue. This once evil and wicked city has turned to God and called out to God. And because of their hearts, God does not demolish them. He does not bring them to the destruction that they deserve. And that brings us to where we are in our study today. I know you guys stood to sing, but let's honor God, church. Let's stand and read God's word together. Let's honor his word. Jonah chapter 4. Here's what God's word says. Verse 1, we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw that their deeds, that they had turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. So he's having grace and mercy on them, right? And he did not do it. But in verse 1, chapter 4, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. Listen to what he's saying to God. I didn't want this to happen. I wanted to delay it. And so I fled. For I knew, God, that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. The Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? And then Jonah just walks away, went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about that plant, but God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" He says, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left hand?" That's talking about children, as well as many animals. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we are grateful for a time of year that we're reminded to tell you thank you. But God, all we have to do is open up our eyes, and we should be in awe of you. And we should be grateful and praising you every day. God, as we come to this text today, we ask God that you would teach us. It's a tough text to talk through and lots to cover. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would be gracious and you would just help us learn and hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we read chapter 3 and then head into chapter 4, one might imagine a different outcome, right? Think about it. Chapter 1, even though Jonah disobeys and runs from God, God pursues him. He loves him. He disciplines him. He rescues him. God pours his grace out on Jonah when Jonah did not deserve it, right? Jonah had hate in his heart toward the people of Nineveh, so much so that he did not want to see God forgive and rescue them. But we see God is gracious and loving toward Jonah through all of it. Then in chapter 2, When Jonah experiences God's grace, right, in his rescuing, he finally does what God wants him to do. He goes to his enemy, right? Chapter 3, when he goes in and he tells Nineveh about God's message and his warning, right? And the whole city, they humble themselves, they repent, they turn to God. And then we see God's grace pour out on them again, right? Where God pours his love and mercy and grace out on a people that were evil, they did not deserve it. But when they turn to God, he pours that out on him. And I think we come to chapter 4, And I think a great chapter 4 might be where Jonah sits back and he's just in awe of how awesome God is and how awesome his love is for and that he has for all people. Right? I think that would make a great chapter 4. He would be thinking, "God, you are so gracious to me. You've been gracious to the city," right? And then he'd be encouraged to run and tell more people, more enemies about Jesus. That'd be a great chapter 4. Or maybe a good chapter 4 might be where Nineveh and Jonah's people come together and have a good old Baptist potluck, right? And they just get together and everybody brings their meal and they come together and they worship the Lord together. But that's not what we see in chapter 4. That's not what happens. Instead, we see Jonah, the focus goes back in on Jonah. And he's struggling. He's angry with God. He's angry with the city. He's angry that God is being gracious and loving toward the people of Nineveh. And he and God are going to have a moment here. You ever have a moment with God? He wins, right? Amen. But he's good. He likes us to do that. We learn from that. We're going to talk about that today. But when we have moments with God, we should come out more like him than when we started. But Jonah's struggling. But again, even though Jonah's struggling,